Let us turn again to the chapter we read together in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and let us consider verse 12, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Proverbs chapter 14 at verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And you might think of somebody heading off into the mountains. The weather is not good. The district is dangerous. There may be rocks likely to fall. There may be people there who think nothing of taking someone's life. There's endless dangers, perhaps, that can be listed. But the person or people are determined to set off. The way seems right to them. They make little of the dangers. They tell those who are concerned for their safety, they tell them they shouldn't be so easily worried. There's nothing to be concerned about. They are wildly over-optimistic. But they go on. And what is the end of that trip? Death. But that's only a picture. What we have here is something that needs to be applied spiritually. Many of the Proverbs, you can make use of them to steer a wiser course through life and temporal things. And the illustration I have used is a use of that in this verse we have for our text. The danger of going on where the risks are great, and to make our way through life without seeking God, without committing our way to it, is a way that has very great risks. In fact, perhaps we should use a stronger word. The end thereof are the ways of death. The end of an ungodly life is eternal death. And it may be worth pointing out before we go further that the one place where we find the most solemn warnings is the book of Proverbs. Of course, the Savior gave many very solemn warnings. And whatever it is that we find in the Word of God warning us against a godless life, surely we ought to pay attention to it, whether it is in Proverbs or in the gospel accounts of what Christ has said. How much we need to be on our knees for ourselves and for others in pleading with the Lord for mercy, in pleading with the Lord that he would look down in mercy on us. Well, let us try to say something first of all, by way of pointing out the truth about the human life, our life in this world. Then secondly, we will try to speak about the end of human life, the end of these ways or that way. It's death. Death in every way. This world is a solemn place. This world has much sadness. And there's nothing sadder than hearing of the death of a sinner who, to all appearance, has gone down to a lost eternity. The end of that way is death. And then in the third place, we will try to say something about how we should live our lives in this world. First then, the truth about human life, however much people might try to hide it from themselves. Second, the end of the life which people will lead, which seems right to themselves, the end of that life is death. And then in the third place, we will try to say something about how human life should be led, how we should live our lives. Well, the first thing, as we consider these words, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a right way to go through life, but to depart from that way or not to set out on that way, that's dangerous. And we may consider how people feel themselves free to live life in this world by way of contrast with how life should be led. If we were wise, you see, and the book of Proverbs has a great deal to say about wisdom and its opposite, and we would do well to seek wisdom. It's the Apostle James who says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God. Who giveth to all men liberally and does not upbraid. He doesn't, to put it in human terms, give a row to someone who is coming to him for wisdom. Of course, the Lord reproves. But you see, if someone was a youngster, was to come to one of his parents and ask, what's the best way of doing such and such? And if every time he came with such a request, the parent was to give him a row, to get on to him, you wouldn't think much of the way that that parent is handling the child. And so it is with the Lord. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. If there's one thing we should believe about the Lord, it is that he is a liberal giver. Of course, he is perfectly holy. We should remember that. But in the sort of ways that we had going out this evening, this line of thought, or the lines of thought that I may follow out, some of them anyway, it is important to remember that God is a liberal giver. He gives to all men liberally. As I've just been quoting. God gives liberal gifts to sinners. The poor sinner coming to God and asking for mercy. The Lord gives mercy liberal. He has his own way of dealing with individual sinners. But sooner or later, those who are coming to Christ looking for mercy, they will discover this, that God gives liberally. And oh, when a saved sinner comes to heaven, will this not be obvious to that sinner? God gave me liberal gifts. When everything will become clear, everything is not clear in this life. But when a sinner gets to heaven, this surely is one of the main things that he will think of throughout eternity. God gave me liberal blessings. Well, surely that's what we should be seeking. We shouldn't be afraid to seek blessings from God for Jesus' sake. We are unworthy of it. That's true. Absolutely true. But you see, God gives liberally. Yes. But we might think of these words for a moment. In verse 2 of chapter 16, all the ways of a man are clean in his own right, in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You see, the person described in our text, or at least the way I illustrated it, that man or men or women thought that they were wise themselves when deciding to go out on some trek, though the weather was terrible, though the conditions underfoot were terrible. And you could multiply that considerably. But you see, that way of thinking showed a vast overconfidence in their own wisdom. Now what is said in verse 2 of chapter 16 is that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. People going through this world, are their ways clean? Or the answer might be, they're good enough. And how will a sinner who is clean in his own eyes get on when his soul leaves this world and enters into eternity? How will such a sinner get on? Oh, if the Lord lightens up our souls, will we not find that we are unclean? Our thinking is unclean. And is it not necessarily thinking which contravenes the seventh commandment that I am referring to? You see, uncleanness is used as a picture of sin. You'll see that very much in the Old Testament laws, the laws of Moses. And uncleanness is set before us as a picture of sin. When the Lord meets a sinner, you would never have the Saul of Tarsus, for instance, complaining in his days as a Pharisee of his sin. He wouldn't be speaking as he does when he writes to the Romans, turning to chapter 7 at the moment. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body of death that could be put also. That's a godly man, but he's not perfectly holy at that point. He's certainly perfectly holy now. And he was setting out on that dangerous journey to Damascus. I mean dangerous, because he was going against the will of God. He was going to persecute Christ because he was persecuting the Lord's people. Yes, he was on a dangerous path. And if the will of God had been otherwise, he could have been cut down in a moment and sent down to a lost eternity. Every way of a man is clean in his own eyes, and that sinful way of Saul of Tarsus, going to persecute the Lord's people, and he was willfully disobedient. Spiritually, it was sin. He thought it was good. It was right in his own eyes, very much so. But the Lord met him, and he knew that he was not clean. He was no longer clean in his own eyes. He needed to be cleansed. He needed to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes. He needed to be made a new creature. He needed a change of heart and life. Now, whatever it is that is true of people here, still going on in sin, It's not necessarily that you are going on in great sin as far as people like yourself would measure degrees of sin. You might think all your ways are clean. They're clean in your own eyes, granted. But that's no test of anything. A human being passing judgment. A human being still on the broad way that leads to destruction, making a judgment of themselves and their own ways. They might say, nobody can reproach me. Nobody can say anything against me. I'm a good person. Let us read the Bible. And let us ask the Lord to bless the teachings of Scripture to us, so that we might see what we really are. What should we be? We should be following Christ. We should be looking to Him. We should be seeking His blessing. We should be praying without ceasing. We should be dependent on the work of Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. You see, whatever is true about ourselves, this is true, as we had it in Psalm 139, that is not a word in my heart, in my heart. But lo, thou knowest it altogether. The Lord knows me. The Lord knows you. Whoever you are here, and how dangerous it is to be building up very white pictures of ourselves when the Lord sees something very, very dangerous, very different. There are some people whose sins are open beforehand. But there are others, and their sins are secret. But whatever is true about our sins, this is true, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Apart from a saving work of grace in our souls, how much we need the saving work of Christ. Surely we should be going to. Surely we should be crying out in our souls, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what happened to that man? Well, I'll tell you what happened to that man. He went to heaven. You just get a little glimpse of him. Perhaps two glimpses. One was when he uttered his prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then a snapshot. After he left the temple, he went his way. And he went his way in a certain condition. I tell you, the Savior said, that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The man who was right in his own eyes. He was so wonderful. He could boast of it before God. But it's the poor publican who needs forgiveness, who needs mercy, who needs to be justified. And he goes down to his own house justified rather than the other. The end of that man was death, spiritual death. Though I suppose we could consider the mercy of God as infinitely great, and that man could later have obtained mercy But he needed a change. He needed a complete change. Is that where we are still needing a complete change. It's a remarkable statement in verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. How best, or one of the best ways, perhaps is as strong as I should put it, one of the best ways to measure a man or a woman or a young one is to assess, if that is possible, to the extent that it is possible in any given case, to understand their way. What way are they going on? Is it the narrow way that leads to life everlasting? Or is it the broad way that leads to eternal destruction? If you can see that, we can't guarantee, of course, that we can see anyone else's way, and we may have great difficulty in assessing our own way. But to the extent that we can work out where that person will end up. And if it is somebody who is living foolishly, going away from God, drifting away from God, where will that journey take them apart from the infinite mercy of God bringing them back to himself? Yes, the end thereof is death. But let us go on to notice that a bit more fully. The end of that man is death. And you see, he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, they may yet be forgiven, but he that believeth not is already in a state of condemnation. They need to be delivered. Where are you spiritually? I'm not expecting you to let me know the answer. But what I want is that you would answer the question to yourself. And after you get home, find some time to go away on your own and pour out your heart to God, asking him to show you where you stand spiritually and to plead the merits of Christ Jesus, the Savior. Cry out to it. For he is ready to hear the prayer of sinners who are still ungodly. Yes. And yet, I don't say, wait till you get home. But be pouring out your petitions to God where you are just now. Indeed, we're to pray without ceasing, to be ready, whatever our needs are and whatever consciousness we may have of our spiritual needs, to cry to him for a blessing. Remember that God is a liberal giver. God is ready to forgive. You see the wideness of the kindness of God when he proclaims the gospel. What is it? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wherever you are, however far away you may be from Christ, from God, at this present time, Christ is calling you. He is a liberal giver. God the Father is a liberal giver. Christ is a liberal giver. The Holy Spirit, oh, what blessings he brings to souls. Yes. Why is it that sinners here have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because of that liberal giver who is on the throne of glory. We can speak of God the Father in that way. We can speak of Christ the Savior of lost sinners in that way. And we can speak of the Holy Spirit coming where sinners are, to work in their souls for the sake of Christ, to make them new creatures in Christ Jesus. When you not go to the throne of grace now to ask for mercy, to ask for gospel blessings. Otherwise, the end of that man is death. And that's not just that the person passes away from this world. Not just that soul and body will be separated, the body to be laid in the grave, or whatever people please to do with their bodies. I'm speaking about the way that is consistent with Scripture, of the body being left in the grave, and the soul to pass into eternity. Yes. But it's more than that. That sinner passing into eternity in a godless condition. Where will that soul go? It will go to meet eternal death. The end of that man is death. That godless man, that careless man, death, eternal death. No possibility of that death being reversed. You see, there will be a resurrection, and the separation between body and soul, natural death, that will be reversed. Whether it will be to the person's good, as it will be if they find Christ, or to the person's going into a worse condition, if that was an unsaved sinner. Oh, you see, we have this warning about going on carelessly. The end of that man is death, or the end thereof are the ways of death. The end of a godless life. Yes. Some visitors to the Highlands met a godly man and Kinlochbervie or thereabouts. They thought they were clever. They thought they were wise. And they asked the man, "Where is hell?" He had an answer for them. A very good answer. At the end of a godless life. Now what I'm saying is, you've been warned. The word of God is warning you. Preachers have been warning you. See that you do not pursue a godless course and end in our last eternity. Take it seriously. Yes, I know that sinners do not have much appetite. Sinners may not have any appetite for earnest seeking of salvation. But you see, remember again, the Lord is a generous giver, and he meets with sinners, and he pours grace bountifully into their souls. If you are finding it a struggle to seek for salvation, remember you are not the first person. And others went to the Lord. They went to the throne of grace. They went boldly to the throne of grace because they were invited to go to the throne of grace. They went boldly because we have freedom, so to speak, to go to the throne of grace. Yes. Well, you are being invited to go and cast all your cares about your soul in particular, or go in connection with your children's soul, or souls. Go boldly to the throne of grace and pour out your concerns there, knowing that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him for his sake, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. What a wonderful thing that is. We, with our poor prayers, we with prayers that are inadequate, we with prayers that have sin in them, they're not pure, but there's this, Christ is there making intercession. Christ is presenting the merits of his work in this world. That's the basis of it. And it's a sure foundation. That's why he can be a generous giver. Because of the wonderful nature of his work. Yes. Oh, be pleading the merits of Christ, what he has done, the perfection of his work, the absolute suitability of his work. Go to the throne of grace, however unbelieving you may be, and however unbelieving you may feel yourself to be. Yes. Go to the generous giver. Go to God for the sake of the generous giver, the generous Savior. How many ever has the Savior turned away? I think you know the answer. It's this: him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes. But time is passing, and perhaps I'm really on to the third point already. How we should live, what we should do, and there's much teaching that I gathered together, but time is passing. That's true as far as this service is concerned, but it's true as far as our lives are concerned. That's the thing. Time is passing. We're getting older, some of us especially. We have to conclude that we haven't got long now. in this world. The Lord knows. And what we should do in that connection is to make the best use of our time in this world. To make the best use of it. Now, each of us should try to decide what that is, each one for ourselves. There are various things that we could speak of. One is that we should do our work diligently, whatever it is. But you see, taking a longer view, perhaps, thinking of our death, passing into eternity. The first thing is that we would get on to the broad way that leads to everlasting life. What did the Savior say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Perhaps you say, I've so little time to seek the Lord. I've so little time left when I go to pray. I've so little time to read the Bible. But there's such a thing as priorities. Priorities. What do you prioritize? Someone might say, I've got to prioritize looking after my child. Well, that must be one of your priorities if you're in that position. But just to make that an example, can you not ask the Lord as you feed the child that the Lord would make her able and willing to feed on Christ? As you clean that child, should you not be praying, Lord, cleanse this child's heart and cleanse my heart too. And as far as that is concerned, you say, I have difficulty with some of my priorities. This matter about seeking the Lord. And I find it very difficult. Well, cry out as that wonderful woman did. Wonderful because of the divine work in her soul. Lord, help me. She was asking that the Lord would deliver a child from devil possession. And when the Lord seemed reluctant, when he was putting her off and putting her off, she kept going with her requests. That's a wonderful example for us, that we would go to the Lord with our needs and express ourselves in these words, Lord, help me. Lord, help me for Jesus' sake. Well, let us remember the crux of the whole matter. And that is that we are to come to Christ. What is that, do you say? Well, that's what the Savior is saying. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, struggling, perhaps in any number of ways, struggling in seeking grace for your souls, struggling in seeking for forgiveness. Yes, that may be, but you need Christ. Whatever else you need Christ. And seek him. Go where he is to be found. Seek him while he may be found. He is found, he is findable at this point in time. You cannot promise yourself that that will be so even a very short time on from this. Oh, be in earnest. Ask the Lord to make you earnest. Ask the Lord that you might have earnestness in seeking him. Earnestness in calling on him. Remember, he is a generous giver. He is generous with his grace. He is generous with his forgiveness. He is generous with his grace to make you holy. He has an abundance of grace, an abundance of mercy. Go to him. He is able. Nothing is too hard for him. And remember, he is able to save to the uttermost. Save them to the uttermost that come into God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Yes. He is saying to you this evening, turn you at my reproof. I'm not going to quote the whole passage, though it is worthy of being quoted. It's at the end of Proverbs chapter 1. It's a solemn passage. But the Lord uses solemn words to bring sinners to himself. And as you read, or before you read such a passage, or any passage, ask the Lord to be with you. Ask the Lord to bless you. Ask the Lord to do you good in your soul. Yes. Or, let us think of this. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. How many sinners in our time are going down to a lost eternity? How very many. See that you'll not be among them. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Straight and narrow just mean the same thing. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. But you be seeking that you would find it. Remember that the Lord is not speaking to you in the way of warning, just to frighten you, just to stir you up. It's so that you will receive the truth that is to be found in the Word, that God is a generous giver, that Christ is a generous giver, that the Holy Spirit is a generous giver. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a generous giver. Welcome. And go on seeking until you find. They that seek shall find, we are told. And that there is an encouragement. Yes. It's there to encourage us. And many another portion of truth that you have heard, read, or quoted at this communion season. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, bless us. Fix thy word with faith in our hearts. May it not be a wasted effort to try to set out something of the truth. Oh, look upon us in infinite mercy. Do us good. Nothing is too hard for thee. Oh, give us large views of what thou art ready to do. And may we come to thee as one who is generous, who gives large measures of grace, forgiveness, saving mercy altogether. Oh, be with us. Follow us with thy blessing this evening. Grant to be with us at a prayer meeting. Give petitions. Give the grace to one and all to send up these petitions. Thou art able. Nothing is too hard for thee. Grant us thy blessing. Pardon us our sin. Oh, deliver us from the broad way that leads to destruction. Deliver us from the way that is right in our own eyes. But open our eyes to see the wonders of thy grace, the wonders of the narrow way, the wonders of Christ, who draws sinners to himself. Grant thy blessing. Be with us now. Be with us always. Be with us all the time that we will be spared in this world. And may none of us be left to carelessness about our souls. Bless the truth this evening. Bless all that was done at the communion season. Bless the sacrament of the supper. And grant grace to thy children to go on carefully, dependently, looking unto Jesus, seeking grace and more grace. Bless our gathering tomorrow, if we are able for it. Pardon our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.